Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 6, Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva, Text 35. Yamadi bir yogapatai, kamalobhatomahu, mukunda sevaya yadvat, Tatat madda nashamyati. Yama jibbi yoga patai. Kamaloba hatomahu. Mukunda sevaya yadrat. Tatat madda nashamyati. Yamadibhi yogapatai kamaloba hatomahu mukunda sevaya yadrat tatat madda nashamyati. Vaishnavis, by the process of practicing self-restraint. Yoga Patai, by the system of yoga. Mystic bodily power to attain the godly stage. Kama, desires for sense satisfaction. Loba, lust for satisfaction of the senses. Hata, curbed. Muhu, always. Mukunda, the personality of Godhead. Sevaya, by the service of. Yadvat, as it is. Tata, like that. Atma, the soul. Ada, for all practical purposes. Na, does not. Shamyati, be satisfied. Translation. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Purport. Yoga aims at controlling the senses by practice of the mystic process of bodily exercise in sitting, thinking, feeling, willing, concentrating, meditating, and at last being merged into transcendence, one can control the senses. The senses are considered like venomous serpents, and the yoga system is just to control them. On the other hand, Narada Muni recommends another method for controlling the senses in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, the personality of Godhead. By his experience, he says that devotional service to the Lord is more effective and practical than the system of artificially controlling the senses. In the service of the Lord Mukunda, the senses are transcendentally engaged. Thus, there is no chance of their being engaged in sense satisfaction. The senses want some engagement. To check them artificially is no check at all, because as soon as there is some opportunity for enjoyment, the serpent-like senses will certainly take advantage of it. There are many such instances in history, just like Vishvamitra Muni's falling a victim to the beauty of Menaka. But Thakur Haridas was allured at midnight by the well-dressed Maya. And still, she could not induce that great devotee into her trap. The whole idea is that without devotional service of the Lord, neither the yoga system nor dry philosophical speculation can ever become successful. Pure devotional service of the Lord, without being tinged with fruitive work, mystic yoga, or speculative philosophy, is the foremost procedure to attain self-realization. Such pure devotional service is transcendental in nature, and the systems of yoga and jnana are subordinate to such a process. When the transcendental devotional service is mixed with a subordinate process, it is no longer transcendental, but is called mixed devotional service. Srila Vyasadeva, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam, will gradually develop all these different systems of transcendental realization in the text. Om Jnana Chimadandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Narada Muni is concluding his presentation to Vyasadeva. And he knows he's speaking to a worthy person. Both the audience is important and the speaker of transcendental knowledge. He'll tell Vyasadeva, you are anaga, free from all sin. Therefore, I've explained to you everything you've asked. You wanted to know about my janma, my birth, my karma, my activities. I've explained that to you because I know it will be sufficient or proper for your satisfaction. Indeed, that is the situation for us all. To be truly satisfied, we need to hear about the appearance in this world and activities of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. In that way, we are actually satisfied. Now, the subject of satisfaction is very important. The Bhagavad Gita is always targeting that issue. Yinatma supersedity, you may remember from earlier in the first canto. How can the Atma, the self, be truly satisfied? That was a concern of the sages at Naimisharanya in questioning Sutta Goswami. How can the self actually be satisfied? In the third canto of Bhagavatam, you find in the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya that before Vidura asks Maitreya about the activities of the personality of Godhead, he first wants to clear out some fundamental basic issues. Why is it that the conditioned souls pursue material happiness with such dedication? Why can't they understand that there is something far superior to the quest for material happiness? Material happiness has its problems, not only in duration. You can always have a checklist in your mind whenever you're besieged by propositions for material happiness. Go through the checklist in your mind. What about the duration? And then, what about the quality? So Vidura, before questioning Maitreya about the incarnations of Godhead, wanted to benefit the common person. Common person means those who strive for the ordinary stuff, the material gratification. Vidura is saying in his question that, first of all, they don't get the happiness. Secondly, by that effort to gain material satisfaction, you simply incur agitation. And then thirdly, this is very interesting, thirdly, you don't even get detachment. There's this concept that, well, I've got to learn my lesson. Even though it's not going to make me happy, even though I'm not going to be completely fulfilled, at least I'll learn the hard way and then I'll detach myself. But Vidura is telling Maitreya, it doesn't work like that. I've often explained that it's not the job of the illusory energy Maya to educate you. Maya is not the educational department. Here I'm going to give you some lessons so you can learn, and then you'll give me up. No, the function of Maya is to cover you over and never allow you to understand what's going on. But we have this idea in our head that experience will teach us. You may know how the second half of the experience is the best teacher mantra has been forgotten long ago. It's an old British saying. Experience is the best teacher because a fool will learn no other way. So we have this idea that by going through material existence, doing this, doing that, even though it's not the best, and even though there'll be some problems, we'll learn our lesson. But Vidura is pointing out to Maitreya that you don't get the happiness, you don't get the satiation. You simply produce more agitation for yourself, and no, you don't become detached, you don't give it up. You just go on and on and on. So this is why Vidura is asking Maitreya, let's deal with this before we start hearing about Krishna. Narada Muni has gotten to the point in his discussion with Vyasadeva where he can talk about relief from material existence. Because an intelligent person is thinking, how do I get out of this trap? How can I stop the disturbances of kama, lust, lobha, greed? What can I do about that? So Narada Muni is saying, it is true that you will gain relief by mechanically practicing the yoga system. We have to bear in mind that Bhagavatam is dealing with the ingredients of a real human civilization. That means karma, the path of fruitive activities for elevation, jnana, metaphysical speculation, and yoga, mystic yoga for achieving mystic powers. Those are the ingredients of a real human civilization. We, in our delusion, think that human civilization means politics, economics. We haven't understood what are the components of the civilized state. So therefore, it's necessary for us to hear these preliminary concepts so that we understand how far from the grade we are of really being human. So Narada Muni's dealing with that. That generally, you have a human society in which people want to do good karma. They want to get elevated to the heavenly planets. Generally, you have a human society in which people want to speculate on Brahman, the metaphysics of it all, the all-pervading spiritual energy. And generally, you have a human civilization in which some people want to develop mystic powers, ultimately ending up possibly in temporarily merging with the Supreme. That's what usually goes on in a human civilization. But even all that, which is far beyond the degradation that we have today, even all that will not give you permanent relief from material desire. You'll get temporary relief. Now, on the one hand, it's hard to blame someone who wants relief from material existence. If you're in a house that's caught on fire and you race out to get relief, no one's going to criticize you. But you have to make sure that you actually have escaped the fire. You actually have to make sure that you're situated in such a way that you're no longer in danger of being consumed by the blaze. So this is what Narada Muni is referring to. It's true you can get some relief, but it won't last and it won't give satisfaction to the soul. So many of us, and I've asked this question all over the world when I'm traveling, how many of you came to bhakti primarily because you were frustrated and fried with material existence? And of the four reasons that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, materially distressed, curious, seeking prosperity, seeking knowledge, the majority are always in the category of seeking relief from material existence. It's frustrating. It makes no sense. You're fried with your own personal endeavors for sense gratification. You're bewildered by the craziness of the economic injustice, the political corruption, the environmental degradation. All those things bring you to the point of seeking a real solution to your distress. You want relief. It can be that during our first years in bhakti, relief plays the most important role. You're so happy to have escaped the inferno. You were tormented by your senses. You were let down by so many persons. You went through so many excruciating ordeals, and now you're in the pure land of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtan, Prasad, devotee association. So often, for the first few years, you're caught up with just like you've been outside on a blazing hot day. And then suddenly you enter an air-conditioned room. Ah, the relief. But we have to move further than that. And this is Narada Muni's point. Feeling relief from material disturbance is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. In other words, the soul cannot be satisfied just by your coming in from the storm. The soul needs the dynamic, positive relationship with Krishna. That means engaging in devotional service. So our solution to our own existential situation and problem always has to be about devotional service. Simply by mechanical means, you can't restrain yourself. Simply by being frustrated with material existence, you can't restrain yourself for long, because sooner or later, what happens? You're going to forget about how fried you were. The memories fade, although it seems impossible. I'll always remember what happened to me. I'll always remember how frustrated I was. I'll never forget the embarrassing situations I found myself in. Never, never, never again. I'll just wait a few years. Don't underestimate the potency of Maya. Your memory fades. It's Kali Yuga. And then Maya starts knocking on your door again, offering you a refresher course. This time it'll be different. You won't sink as low as you did before. So we need something more substantial to hold on to than simply relief from material suffering. How to permanently be situated in transcendence. This is what Narada Muni is concluding. He's making this conclusive point to Vyasadeva. How to actually be satisfied in such a way that you're on the spiritual platform and you don't go back to illusion. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions about Haridas Thakur. He was allured at midnight, we read, by the well-dressed Maya. Well, you could say that at least Maya was well-dressed these days. Sometimes Sankirtan devotees in California tell me, oh, it's summertime. We wish winter would hurry up and come back because people will start wearing clothes. Yeah, so at least Maya's well-dressed. So what happened? Such a scene. Haridas Thakur is in his cave on the bank of the Ganga. Because he's chanting there, and allied with Advaita Acharya, the two of them, those two brought about the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya, by worshipping his Shila, Shalagram Shila, with Ganga Jal, Ganga water, and Tulsi leaves, and Haridas Thakur by chanting Hare Krishna in his cave by the Ganga with Tulsi Devi there. Those two together brought about the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Lord Chaitanya has his own internal reason to experience the position of Srimati Radharani. From the outside point of view, it was all about Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. So there is Haridas Thakur chanting in his cave on the bank of the Ganga. Kaviraj Goswami describes the scene, because the scenario is very important for stimulation. The moon was shining so brilliantly on the waves of the Ganga. The cave was very beautiful in terms of natural beauty. And then, what happens? In this phenomenal setting, the most phenomenal female appears. She made her presence known in three ways. By the glow from her body. You ever seen a woman like that? The glow from her body just illuminated the cave even more significantly than what the moon was doing. Her glow made the whole cave area and the courtyard outside it look yellowish. And then her fragrance pervaded the air. Then, yes, the ankle bells. It's always essential in Vedic culture, the ankle bells. Got to watch out for them. So there was the sight, there was the sound, and there was the smell. But it didn't stop there. She positioned herself at the entrance to the cave and made her presentation to Haridas Thakur. Now we're talking about words. And she said the words that make every male ego rejoice. Oh, Jagat Bandhu, friend of the universe. You are so merciful. You are showing your mercy and compassion to everyone. I've come here to get some of that mercy and compassion. I've come here only for the purpose of intimate association with you. So remember, there's the fragrance, there's the sight of her glowing body, there's the sound of her ankle bells and her words, but didn't end there. She then started exhibiting feminine postures that Kaviraj Goswami said would bewilder even Lord Brahma, the smartest person in the universe. You know how Haridas Thakur said yes, just as he told the prostitute sent by Ramachandra Khan, yes, I will certainly agree to your request. I have to finish my chanting. And of course, you know how he never finished his chanting. And after 3 days, the lady said, you're cheating me. You never finished chanting. And Haridas Thakur, of course, said, what can I do? I've taken this vow. So then the inconceivably beautiful woman exhibiting postures that would bewilder Kaviraj Goswami says, the greatest philosophers, even Lord Brahma, they couldn't handle it. After 3 days of that, she revealed herself that, look, I am the illusory energy personified. She's Durgadev. I've come here to test you. Everyone fails the test, even Brahma, but you have succeeded. She asked, obviously, you are empowered by the holy name. I would like that holy name of Krishna. Previously, Shiva gave me Hare Rama, and that's sufficient for liberation. But I would like the Hare Krishna mantra, because by chanting Krishna's name, not only do you get liberation as a side effect, but most importantly, you get ecstatic love for Krishna. So I see that the whole world is drowning in the flood set off by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I also want to be in that flood. Can you help me? So at that point, Haridas Thakur gave her formal initiation into chanting Hare Krishna. He asked her to chant Hare Krishna. That was actually the initiation. He formally gave her the holy name of Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find that Kaviraj Goswami is very intuitive. He understood, there are going to be doubts about this. The material energy personified approaching Haridas Thakur and trying to drag him down. Durga Devi herself, the source of all the illusory allurements that you see in the world, the very source of it, came to him to deviate him. How can that be? So, Chaitanya Charitamrita points out, you shouldn't think it's so unusual that such personalities are appearing on earth. Such a personality as Durga Devi, you shouldn't consider that so unusual. Consider Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, came disguised as human beings to get the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to splash and dive in the ocean of the flood of love of Krishna. So what's so unusual about Durga Devi coming when Lord Shiva himself comes, Lord Brahma comes, the four Kumaras come, Prahlad Maharaj comes, even Lakshmi Devi comes? So why are you doubting? Sometimes it's said, how is it really possible that Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement covers the whole universe? He only was present, it seems, in a limited geographic area. South India, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Bengal. How can the whole universe be flooded? But what happened was that residents from other planets came disguised as human beings to see and participate, to see Lord Chaitanya and to participate in his Sankirtan mission. So this example of Haridas Thakur and Maya Devi herself is presented as to show that this is really how to control the senses. You can't be temporarily safe by just feelings of material relief. The real safety is engagement in devotional service, which of course is based on the holy name of Krishna. So this subject of renunciation, whether suitable, premature, or mature, is there throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. How do you actually move beyond mere relief from material suffering? Although it is laudable, it's praiseworthy if someone wants relief from material suffering. If someone is shrewd enough to understand that by material desire, I'm making my situation worse, I want relief, that's smart. But Bhagavatam is beyond smart. It's beyond relief. If you go to the sixth canto, there you see that Daksha had a problem with Narada Muni. He had a problem that Vyasadeva didn't have. Daksha was angry. You have turned 11,000 of my sons to the renounced order of life. Now, Daksha never doubted the need for austerity. He's far beyond the level of so-called human beings today. He knew that for my sons to be proper grihasthas, they first need to perform austerity. Just like we were hearing in that section of the Bhagavatam Sarvas Prabhu read this morning. Austerity is the basis of real existence. You purify yourself through austerity. Our austerities that we're following are nothing like what Lord Brahma did, although sometimes it feels like it. What are our austerities, which are so difficult for the Western world and increasingly becoming difficult for the Indian world? Controlling the senses. We don't have problems really with gambling. We don't have problems with meat eating. And not intoxication, but the other one. About that other one, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, it can be inconvenient. I thought that was a very candid statement. It can feel at times inconvenient that you have to refrain from that activity in which the whole world is drowning in. So our austerity is to deal with that inconvenience. It is inconvenient. Around you is an ocean of sense gratification, and here you are trying to stop yourself from seeking fulfillment in that way. So remember that. It's an austerity. And yes, you do feel inconvenient for a while. So Daksha is concerned. I know the need for austerity, but my boys have taken the renounced order prematurely. Therefore, he called Narada Muni a sadhu. You're wearing the cloth of a saintly person, but we know that you're a fake. You've done me a great insult. You say that you are an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but by your very presence in the entourage of the Supreme Lord, you are bringing infamy upon yourself, the sadhus, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because look what you've done. What did Narada Muni do? In the eyes of Daksha, Narada Muni had given his sons renunciation before they sufficiently enjoyed. Now let's think about that. Doesn't it seem natural that first you've got to work certain things out and do certain things, and then you give it up? Yes. And Daksha conceded that to Narada Muni, that yes, material enjoyment actually is a distressful situation. We all know that. No doubt about that. So, Daksha wasn't a fool. He didn't think that material gratification is the pathway to satiation and satisfaction. He knew it's a can of worms. But he said, but we've all got to go through that. And by going through it, then you naturally give it up. But you have given my sons renunciation before they went through it. This is a great offense. They need to experience the frustration first. And then naturally they'll let it go. Naturally they'll let go the material enjoyment. So this is a very popular conception, even amongst our own devotees, that you've got to go through it. Get frustrated, then you'll give it up. But in the purport to that section of Bhagavatam, 6th canto, Srila Prabhupada points out that it's actually not by frustration or experience that you give it up. It's by the mercy of devotees. Simply being frustrated and seeking relief is not sufficient for you to situate yourself properly in renunciation and in the devotional service of the Lord. You have to get the mercy of a devotee. And that's what Daksha's sons had achieved. They had knowledge from Narada Muni. They had his mercy. And therefore, they were effectively situated in renunciation. But Daksha couldn't see that. No, the process doesn't work like that. They got to go through it. We all know they're going to get fried out by material enjoyment. But the system is you go through it. You do it, you go through it, and then you let it go with full realization. But our point is that there's no full realization from learning by experience. And learning by experience is not what happened to Daksha's sons. They learn by the mercy of Narada Muni. They receive transcendental knowledge. In that way, they can be permanently situated in devotional service. So again, this is a prominent theme in Bhagavatam. Even if you have a real human civilization with karma, jnana, and yoga, still, that's not enough to solve the human crisis. The human crisis can only be solved by engagement in devotional service. Then there's actually satisfaction, yanatma supersedity. So if you can understand this, you can save yourself so much trouble. Because you want satisfaction, you want satiation, you want to feel, in a lasting way, not in a temporary way. It can't happen on the material plane. So what's wrong with spending a lifetime to become situated on the spiritual platform of devotional service? Genuine relief because it's positive, because you're engaged in positive, dynamic service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's driving us is we want satisfaction, satiation. But that will never come from the material energy. We only get the appearance, the false promise of it happening. So an intelligent person is concerned with this. So therefore, Narada Muni is pointing out, it is true that you can do it. You can get some relief from the yoga system. But it's not sufficient to satisfy the soul. So in this way, you see how high the Bhagavad Gita is, it's dealing with elements of human existence that are quite rare in society today. But meanwhile, Prabhupada's purports always bring things down to ground zero, what's happening today. So this is the conclusion of, we're nearing the conclusion of Narada Muni's discussions with Vyasadeva. And in this way, very shortly, Narada Muni will depart, playing his veena, the instrument given to him personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right, any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful class. Really appreciate you having your association here. I wanted to ask you this question. If you have somebody in your life, let's say you're living with a person who is not interested in transcendental knowledge, how do you show mercy upon them? Or maybe it's me, I'm not expert at communicating transcendental knowledge in a way that they can understand, and they're about trying to figure out the material puzzle by experience and going through it. How does one help a person?
Sometimes you have to wait until the right moment. You'd like to help the person immediately, but sometimes they're not ready to hear it. So you don't give up, but you just become skillful, tactful, an expert doctor who knows how to administer medicine to a patient who thinks he or she is completely healthy. Out of compassion, you're thinking how to do that. This is also thinking about Krishna. When Krishna says, Mammana Bhava Madbhakto, always think of me, become my devotee. When you're always scheming how to give Krishna to others, that's always thinking of Krishna. That is the natural, satisfying position of the soul. So maybe you were like that in your past life. Someone was trying to engage you in devotional service, and in your past life, you resisted. Anything else? Yes.
That pastime you're talking about with Haridas Thakur, that even Lord Brahma would be bewildered by Maya. But Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma, so how can we understand that?
Kaviraj Goswami is just indicating that there were the potency of what Durga Devi was displaying would bewilder Lord Brahma. But yes, in some shastras it's said that Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. It can be a bit more intricate than that. But yes, you can say he's Lord Brahma. And he obviously was on a higher level as part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But you don't want to see those postures that Durga Devi displayed. Our devotees sometimes have a difficult problem with the internet because the whole world has a problem with the internet. It's the main use of the internet is pornography. And I was speaking at a brahmachari gathering in India. There are about 300 brahmacharis. I won't tell you where in India. So we were discussing brahmachari life and what is favorable for it, what is not favorable. And then I kind of dropped a bombshell. All right, I know you Prabhus are feeling quite good about yourself because most of you never partied, most of you never had girlfriends like those Westerners. But let us remember, there's one other thing, which is just as bad, if not worse. that stuff on the internet. Immediately, 300 Brahmacharis look at the ground. Oops. Because the horrors on the internet allow you to keep your profile, you know. You come to the temple, Jai Sri Krishna. But then in private, you just destroy yourself. But it's just you and the computer. So therefore, you can maintain your profile that you're a very dignified, respectable person. So this pornography stuff is destroying India. It's destroying the young men in India. And what to speak of the West. So therefore, we don't want to think too much about the display that Durga Devi showed to Haridas Thakur. We can't even handle, you know, the Kali Yuga stuff on the internet. But to speak of the source of all that material allurement herself showing such postures. So we should always consider that we're very weak and tiny and pray to Krishna for his protection. That's essential in this day and age. Praying to Krishna for his protection. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Wonderful class, as always. on that point about how it's not Maya's function to educate, just to cover and state and keep the souls covered. So, of course, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's that verse where Krishna says how lust is never satisfied and it burns like
fire. Just praying on Alina Cha.
Right. But then in the seventh chapter, there's the verse where he says that I'm sex life not contrary to religious principles. So if somebody engages in sex life not contrary to religious principles, isn't that sense gratification that will educate? Or
that's devotional service.
That's devotional service, okay.
Like Srila Prabhupada once said, unless our householders have children, how will saintly persons appear in the world? Will they drop from the sky? So this shows you, this example that you gave shows you how complete bhakti is. How it involves using all the senses in the service of Krishna. So if that's your ashram status and you want to proceed in that way, you've got the money to pay for it all, then you can do that service. That's using the machine Krishna's given you in Krishna's service. So that's a different story altogether. Anything else? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.